Welcome to today's episode of Your Daily Scrum. I'm professional scrum trainer Ryan Ripley. That's professional scrum trainer Todd Miller. We do this show for you.
Moustache Ryan.
Moustache Ryan will not exist. Ryan's wife does not like Moustache Ryan. However, I might go clean face. Maybe I'll just shave everything, right? That'll be good. All right. We get together each and every day to help you get better at Scrum each and every day. Leave your questions and comments below. We love turning your questions into videos. Today's video is actually born of a question from the comment section. Be sure to like and subscribe. We're on the final push to 10,000 subs. 10,000 subs means we get the merch store functionality in YouTube, and that means you get t-shirts with silly stuff that we think of and that our students and friends and others give us to use. So we've got a few ideas already. One of them is in the community tab. Check out that picture. There's a neat image. Maybe I'll get it uploaded and flash it up here at the end of today's video. But yeah, today's question, Todd, straight from the comments section. How does Scrum work outside of software development? What do you think?
I don't know if this is a direction that you were thinking of taking it, but I was just going to kind of take this in the direction and speak about complex work.
Yeah.
What do you think about?
Take it.
Yeah, so when we're talking about complex work, you're talking about work that more is unknown than known. And I know that you may have heard that before, and that might be confusing. But you know, some symptoms of complex work is you know, you think one approach that you're going to take in solving something, and it ends up being a series of far different approaches in solving it. Right? You don't know what you don't know heading into it. You can't explicitly define how to solve it until you're working on it. And just because you solve it does not mean that you're going to get the outcome that you're looking for. I think marketing is rife with this kind of work. I think HR, the same thing. I think that biotech, you know, heck, Ryan, we talk about creative work like stand-up comedians could use and leverage Scrum and its empirical nature and its principles. So I was kind of heading in that direction, speaking about complex work and maybe giving some examples there. But Scrum is really a framework that, if some of that sounds familiar, if that uncertainty, if that unknown factor is something that you're dealing with every day, Scrum is an awesome framework that you can leverage to help.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think empirical process control applies outside of software beautifully. I find that when we're working with organizations that are not writing software, like an HR group, for example, a people team, and this goes for stand-up comedians, it goes, I think, across the non-software board. When I think one of the trickiest parts of adopting Scrum in those contexts is defining your product. If you can define the product and then I think everything else falls into place. For example, the stand-up comedian, a five-minute set, 5 minutes of excellent material that they can use as an opener. Let's say that is our product. That's the product, that's the service we provide. Well, now you have a basis to start building product goals. Well, the product goal is to have a first minute of just impactful openings that gets everybody hooked and gets the crowd on my side. And so then you can actually start working on product backlog items that help you get to that first minute that achieves that product goal, right? You might have some sprint goals and testing some material and doing the, and your definition of done is, you know, people just with their sides hurting in stitches, you know, after your 5 minute set and, you know, some other things that go along there. I think for HR, when we finally realize that the product is, the employee experience from hire to fire or hire to retire or hire to exit, however you want to define it, then we could start thinking about onboarding as a product. And we could start thinking about benefits as a product. And we could start thinking about diversity and inclusion as the product. And then people could start actually coming up with product goals and sprint goals based off of those pieces of the life cycle of an employee through the organization. And that made it simpler than to apply empirical process control to those areas of concern, right? So I think product definition is the big hurdle here. And if you can get that right, whether it's stand-up comedy, an HR group, or anything else outside of software, I think the rest of the framework will fall into place really, really nicely.
Yeah, you know, I was just working with a marketing group And one of the things we were talking about quite extensively was a rebranding effort and how a rebranding effort comes with so much complexity and so much uncertainty. Just because you rebrand doesn't mean that the new brand is going to drive more customers to you, right? And so they were walking through me with a lot of the strategies that they were trying to take to leverage Scrum into rebranding by micro testing, right? Micro testing new color palettes, micro testing new messaging, micro testing these things so that in the end they get a brand that works. They had spoken about how they used to do that, Ryan, right? They used to come up with a plan for rebranding, explicitly follow that plan, and then launch the rebranding effort with a mixed success, right? Sometimes complete failure. Yeah. So it was just really interesting to hear that, just as in your HR examples, that there's a lot of domains of work out there that really could use Scrum that maybe aren't quite yet. We're sure seeing a lot more that are. But to your point of finding a product, leveraging Scrum to surround that product and be empirical about it, inspection, adaptation, transparency is, it's a good start.
And if you want to get super clever with it, throw some EBM in there, measure your outcomes, and really start seeing how empiricism works outside of software. But that's probably for another video. Todd, I did promise where we would kind of give a little quick preview of what could show up on a t-shirt if we get to 10,000. So why don't I pull the banner down? First of all, you know, community.agileforhumans.com. You should check that out. All right, banners are gone. Check this out. Look at that.
Yeah. From our friend Seth.
Yeah. If you've been in a professional Scrum Master course, you are well aware of what Squirrel Burger is. And I think we're going to have a Squirrel Burger hoodie and t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to wear it. We got to get to 10,000 before we can build it. So if you think Squirrel Burger is pretty cool, we think it looks amazing. Seth, you're awesome. Thanks for providing that to us. Let's get to 10,000 and let's get this on a t-shirt. I think it'll be fun. Mr. Miller, I think it's end screen time. How should people like and subscribe this week?
I think that they should go to a place that has a wide open area and do as many somersaults as they possibly can. And that's going to, by way of it, make them dizzy. And the best way to resolve being dizzy is by sitting down in your office chair, taking your hand and clicking like and subscribe.
I love it. Like and subscribe. Try not to give yourself a concussion in the process. Be safe. Be careful, everybody. After you do that, check out socials. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter are pretty active. Some videos are going to pop up. Our Scrum 101 course is on the left. Check that out. Get your certification. Go take the PSM-1. Go conquer the world. On the right is our latest video that the algorithm thinks you'll like. We do too. For Todd Miller, I'm Ryan Ripley. Go forward. Do some great Scrum things. Let's get up to 10,000. Share the show. Like and subscribe. Leave comments. Do all the great things that help get the word out. And we will see you tomorrow.